our Archive podcasts. And exciting today, we've been talking about seafood the last couple of weeks. We have Mark from Metropolitan Seafood up in Clinton, New Jersey.
Actually, we're in Lebanon, Bill.
Lebanon, okay.
That's okay. You won't forget it again. I'm Lebanese. That's the truth.
So, Mark, you've been in business longer than we have.
We're just approaching 31 years. We've moved a couple of times, each time to a larger location. But now in our Lebanon location, basically, I've dug a hole in the back, so when I die, they just push me in the hole. So we're not moving again.
That's what I said, because you were in Clinton for a long time.
23 years, yeah. So our first location was like 450 square feet.
Then we moved
across the street, and it's been extraordinary. You know, it really has been.
That's a good run.
Yep, absolutely.
And you never thought about, did you ever branch out or open other
locations? We've been offered locations, but I don't think that, you know, this is not a chain concept. We're dealing with a very perishable product, a product that requires expert handling, and it just doesn't seem to translate. I personally have never seen a successful seafood chain with the same level of product that we have. You know, so, and again, things are coming in. As I'm talking to you right now, I just received a text from a Japanese broker, you know, that fish is coming in from Japan and we import it, obviously. So it's kind of hard to, you know, have that multiple location. And I'm delighted to have one location.
We'd almost need a commissary and then feed out the little stores.
Yeah.
And then you got to have five or six.
And that's just time. And I just want to just deliver. And, you know, I mean, and I've said this before. I came out here, you know, 30-some-odd years ago, literally to live here. Mm-hmm. My wife and I, we had just gotten married, and, you know, I wanted to live in Hunterdon County. And so I took over the space of a fish market that I worked at when I was 15 years old.
Oh, so you've been at it.
I've been at it, yeah. I did a lot of the fish for Moses' bar mitzvah. So it was we've been doing it a very, very long time. I've been cutting fish since I'm a kid. And then went through college and, you know, graduated and did a little stint in the corporate world for 2.5 years.
So you got the business end of it.
Yeah, yeah. And then just, but you learn. You know, you think what you knew, you really know nothing. But it's but the industry continuously teaches us, which is fabulous.
Yeah, so as an independent, a standalone seafood market, you've seen the landscape of retail ebb and flow and increase. I mean, how do you compete against it used to be the local supermarket, but now you've got big box stores, you've got Amazon with overnight delivery.
Yeah.
How do you compete against
that? Well, actually, to your point with Amazon, actually, we're one of the few industries that are not affected by e-commerce. And the simple fact is that fish is the last food source on earth that's hunted. So although I can track a comb from point A to point B or anything that I buy on Amazon, we don't know what's going to be caught until it's caught. So you could have wishes, but those wishes are gifts from the ocean. As far as competing,
so they can't really list any. They couldn't.
They could list all they want. They could. It's you know, it's great. I mean, I find it comical sometimes because they can list all they want. But the fact of the matter is, if there's a storm blowing through with 50-mile-an-hour sustained winds, that fishing area is going to be closed.
Yeah.
So you could, you know, you could wish, and you could even lay down, and I could brush your forehead and tell you it's going to come, but it's not. I mean, the fact, like I said, it's, you know, as far as competition, I mean, we compete with ourselves. What we do is exactly what I did when I was working in a fish market as a kid. Everything comes in whole. Literally.
Oh, so you do the cutting right there.
We break down every single piece of fish. So if you've been in my store, one of the greatest compliments I think we've ever gotten from a client was, I wish that my dentist office smelled as good as my fish market.
Yeah, you shouldn't smell old fish.
You absolutely should not smell any fish. It's one of two reasons. Either the fish is old or the store is not clean. And those two simple things, once you take care of those. But breaking down the fish, knowing the origin, and having an expertise from my staff is really important. Like I said, besides you know, getting fish from the Eastern Seaboard and the West Coast, and we do import a lot of fish, and and we're able to do that, you know, because we're at the Fulton Fish Market so regularly, and also at the airport picking up our import fish.
So much stuff is flowing in. People don't used to come and land at the South Street Seaport now it's all flown in.
Well, yeah, I mean, in actuality, I mean, a lot of fish is flown, but still, don't get me wrong, all the fish from the Eastern Seaboard up, you know, from Florida and up to Maine is still trucked in. So it's that's not flown, that's trucked in, you know. So for example, I just put in orders to arrive in the market tonight, you know, from stuff that was it's on the truck now. It'll be in New York tomorrow morning.
Yeah, out of New Bedford they come in the truck.
Exactly. Down south and the different transport companies. But you know, again, it's fish does come from all over the world, and that's the only thing in the last 30 years that's changed about my business is that the business is still as archaic as possible. I mean, you would be shocked to ask someone. Obviously, when you have a bill from Amazon and you know that your hot dog cooker is in the mail, and they tell you when it's going to arrive, and it's all. But the thing is, a tractor trailer will pull up at the Fulton Fish Market, and we really don't know what's in there until it's unloaded, and also to go further, I don't, you know, just because it's on the truck, just because it's arrived, then we still have to inspect it because it's a perishable product.
Yes,
how was it packed? When was it caught? You know, as my friend Bobby DiGregorio, Bobby Tuna from the Fulton Fish Market said, they will probably develop a computer that could do a fishmonger's job when I die. There's so many moving parts. Not like meat or chicken or fish. There's no one hunting chickens tonight. You know, no one's going on.
No, it's the last truly harvested. That's one of our phone conversations. People risk their lives. They're out there still battling the elements.
Absolutely. You know. And we have to honor the catch. And you know, talking about fish in general, I mean, every piece is a gift that comes out of the ocean for us. There are no ugly fish. There are some ugly personalities, but there are no ugly fish. And if you use the word trash fish in my store, well, if you do, I will give you a very vigorous half Lebanese hug. And when you say you can't breathe, I'll probably hold on for another 30 seconds. Talking about, you know, why people didn't like fish. Again, it's kind of a modern day problem, if you will. You know, people decide this fish is oily, this fish, and a lot of those misconceptions. I'll give you an example. People talk about bluefish, how oily it is. Yet salmon is one of the fattiest fish, and
people want tuna belly that's like bacon.
Oh,
right?
The toro, yeah, and we sell it. Yeah, we sell. I mean, we sell the yellowfin toro. We actually smoke because we break down the tunas ourselves. We actually smoke the tuna bellies.
Okay.
And it comes out extraordinary. I mean, I'm proud to say that the New York Times actually listed it as unctuous. And I put that word in my vocabulary and use it every day I can. But it's...
I have to try some.
Yeah. Oh, it's fabulous.
Well, it makes sense. A fatty like cod and all those
right.
fatty fish.
Exactly. Yeah. You can't smoke the tuna loin itself. It would be too dry.
Right.
And the whole process is to brine it first and then to smoke it. But it is so cool that fish from all over the world is coming in. Yeah. I mean, we're bringing in wild red mullet from Portugal, these little baby octopus from Greece, of course, the branzino and dorad.
That's a staple now.
I mean, well, it is a staple. And
they're farmed. I mean, they're farmed.
They are open ocean farmed. And again, every farm is not the same. So you do
I think
have,
people don't understand. When they ask me all this, the salmon farm-raised or wild, I said, well, it's farm-raised. I said, it's certified waters. But you're not getting a salmon now on the East Coast that's native. There's no native.
Well, there's a very, very short season. And
even on the East Coast, I thought.
I'm talking about Scotland in particular.
Oh yeah, well,
so
yeah.
Well, no, but I'm talking about Scotland in particular. There's a very 2 week short season. The fish are prohibitively expensive. I did procure one for a customer who had to have a wild Scottish salmon, and they are, you know, in the midst of doing massive conservation, you know, to bring this species back. But talking about farmed, when you say certified waters, they're actually. There is no certified organic fish farming in the United States as we know it. Okay, so there's no labeling, but in Europe there is. And just to give you a quick breakdown, what it has to be is obviously, number one, no antibiotics or hormones, no GMOs, no artificial feed, and then it has to prove that it has produces a very small carbon footprint. So they have to have good tidal estuary flows. So a lot of people think that, you know, you walk out the door and you can see the fish pens, you know, from 100 yards away. Some of them are miles out, just to get that good tidal estuary flow to get rid of waste. So there is certified organic salmon. And to be honest with you, and also they put literally half the amount of fish in the pens. But besides all the nutritional and parts of it, it just tastes better. I mean, if you took a piece of, and I'm doing air quotes right now, regular farm-raised salmon, and you just roasted it next to a piece of certified organic, you're going to get so much more of this liquid that comes out of the regular farm-raised salmon. And that's the same thing that we as humans, when we take antibiotics and hormones, we puff up.
On steroids, that was always with the veal years ago.
Yes.
Got the bad rap.
Yeah.
The steroids, the muscles hold water.
Right, exactly.
And when you cook it, you can't even brown it in the pan because the water runs out.
And listen, I have not eaten an incredible burger yet or an impossible burger.
We just tried the Beyond ones.
Well, God bless you. but anyway, I'm gonna hopefully die happy never trying those. And again, it's not that I guess it. I just don't believe that science makes food, you know, better. I'm not talking about fertilizing methods or, you know, through wholesome, you know, procedures. I'm really referring to, you know, certain fish, for example, take scallops, okay, as dry and wet scallops.
Right.
So for the people at home, a dry scallop is shucked. It's, you know, it's caught, it's shucked, it's put in a cloth bag, it's iced, it's brought to market. It's not technically dried, but they call it dry. Now, in that same neighborhood, you know, this poor scallop's neighbor was shucked. Then it was soaked in sodium triphosphate.
Tripolyphosphate, yeah.
There you go. I don't want to know how to say it or spell it.
No, I see it on the, you know, when I see it on the label,
right,
I don't buy it.
So I will never eat it. And that scallop is soaked in that. And then it adds 25% water weight.
It increases the weight.
It increases the weight.
Makes it nice and white.
And then it makes it last for longer than most marriages, which I don't want to be a part of that. But it's horrible. And when you try to pan sear those scallops, all the water that's been held in them now is exuding out, and you'll never get that beautiful caramelization again. Science does a lot of fabulous things.
Well, it preserves them, and it's good for the – I mean, it helps people make money.
Listen.
You know, you're selling them, and you got 25% of its water.
Listen, I have no part of it. I will never have a part of it. And you know, to that, I also am perfectly comfortable not having something in my store. Again,
we don't carry that.
If there's been a storm and we can't get, for example, gray sole,
right.
Okay, that's fine. Just listen, I don't know what's happening tomorrow. People are fishing. Hopefully they'll catch something. So when you go to buy fish in a retail situation, I think the idea is, besides a few things, you come in just wanting to buy something fresh, not necessarily a particular sea bass or red snapper or grouper, but, you know, something that's going to be great for the family.
We're going to have, with the quarter hour, we've got mention a couple of sponsors here, but we're right back with Mark. It's fascinating. I can hear the passion in your voice. We'll be right back at Chef Bill's Table.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provide sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterton Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Here at Sheffield's Table at WHCRDB. We've got Mark here in the studio, streaming live on Sheffield's Table Facebook page, which, Mark, you can access that anytime.
Yeah,
so
that'd be great. Thank you.
Yeah, talking so talking about, I guess, fresh versus frozen.
Well, I mean, we don't have the luxury of carrying frozen fish. And that's why you came into the store to begin with. The only thing that we have that's frozen is shrimp.
You pretty much have to buy that. I mean,
not have to.
Well, you get Carolina. Yeah,
We get the Florida shrimp.
Okay.
We get the Florida shrimp. Pinks and the whites. Also, we get rock shrimp when it's not been previously frozen, only fresh. And again, that's why you came to the store. As far as someone buying something frozen, I think, as we were talking about during the break, see where it's being processed. You know, for example, I had a client, and she said that she called me up and said, "Listen, I got this coho salmon from Costco," and I said, "Fine." I said, "You know," she was asking me, which I don't mind. Listen, I want to take a quick detour. I don't want anyone to eat bad fish, because if someone eats bad fish, that's not a customer I'll ever get. I mean, people will come to me and tell me, "Listen, I don't like fish." Now, when you say you don't like fish, if you say you don't like beef, I'm okay. It's one animal. It's all basically the same. Yeah. You know what I mean? You might have a preference or whatever. But when you say you don't like fish, I feel as though that I need to sit you down in the psychiatrist's couch and wonder what bad experience you have related. Did you have a bad Mrs. Paul's fish sticks experience on your sixth birthday?
Something happened.
Something happened, and a little therapy will knock that. Because there's so many varieties and textures and flavors. But what people who normally say they don't like fish just grew up with just funky fish, and not funky in a James Brown B-side album way.
No.
They just grew up with something, a terrible experience, and they just assume that it's supposed to smell ammoniated and it's supposed to be fishy and all these things. But getting back to the frozen, you know, it's where has it been processed? Look, right. We talked about this. So this client came in and she called me, and she, you know, said, "This is what this is." And I said, "Well, just take a look on the package. It's processed in China." And this is not a political statement whatsoever, but it's so cheap to process things in China. It's cheaper to send it over, have it processed and sent back. And this goes the same thing with chicken and a lot of things. So, again, where it's from is great, but what chemicals are they using? And that's what you want to know. And as far as nutritional value, nothing technically or factually beats something wild out of nature. It's wild. It's caught. It's put on ice. It's brought to us.
Right.
But you know, going back to what we talked about, the farm raised, something as common as tilapia. Okay.
Right.
We're sourcing our tilapia now from a couple of aquaponic farms right in Jersey.
Well, you're doing the, in Branchburg. I saw
that with the
hydroponic lettuce.
Yep. And exactly.
And you talk about a sustainable whole,
right. right.
cycle there. I was
right.
going to ask you about
and
that.
And it's just, and like I said, I mean, you know.
Do they supply a lot?
I mean, we kind of started them off, and we want them to supply more, so we want them to get bigger.
I saw it was Tuesdays. I guess Tuesdays was tilapia day.
No. He's dropping off fish actually tomorrow, but he'll drop fish off twice a week. But we'll get that tilapia twice a week. Listen, we get our trout from the Muskie Trout Hatchery over in Asbury, and that was just a pure accident. I was, you know, there was some sort of most of the trout used to come from Idaho years ago.
Oh, so that was the original farm.
Right,
fish,
which is still very much in play. But they had some sort of regenerative problems, and we couldn't get trout for 2 or 3 weeks. And I was driving. It was out by my house where I live. And I pulled in, and I said to this lovely man, Vern, I said, hey, can I buy some trout? He goes, where's your club? I said, I'm not part of a club. And he goes, and where do you want me to stock it? I said, I just want it in a cooler so I can bring it back to my store. And listen, the only thing that they're doing over there, it's all natural feed, is the only thing they have to do with trout farming is they have to put oxygen in the water. Trout require a tremendous amount of oxygen.
Okay.
Because if you're going to raise trout, let's say, in a swimming pool, normally trout really flourish in running waters, which is natural.
They're always getting fresh.
So it requires a lot. That's why you can't catch trout in the dead of summer in Round Valley or Spruce Run, because the water's gotten so hot and it just kind of die off or move upstream. Yeah, they move either way.
All the flounders are heading north because of the warmer waters, right?
Exactly.
They don't stick around.
No. And like I said, I mean, and you know, you're talking to what you asked me before about sustainability. You know, there is tremendous efforts and procedures that have been taking place in the industry, which aren't that sexy to talk about, meaning that it's very sexy to talk about how the ocean's been depleted and everything's and we're running towards the hills and we'll be eating hemp burgers. You talk about fish. You know the difference between, I know you do, but ground fish and migratory fish.
Right.
So a ground fish, whether it be flounder or cod or hake or pollock,
they hang around the bottom.
Well, but their whole lives are spent in one area.
Right.
Okay, so let's just take a 100 mile per square foot part of the ocean here. You know what I mean? So if they restrict that area, the fish can regenerate and get populated.
They did it with the scallops years ago. I remember they almost got where they were. There was too many of them, and the price dropped. I mean, this is
right.
20 years ago or something.
No. Longer. And again. By allowing these beds to open and close, and listen, I'll be the first to admit that as managers of nature, we are, and I'm talking about the human species, absolutely horrible. So we don't do it, but there are efforts. When you talk to fishermen, and I talk to a lot of commercial fishermen, I have a lot of commercial fishermen who are friends of mine, and you know, these are the biggest conservationists going. Because these are the guys.
They don't want to run out of product.
Well, they don't want to run out. Exactly. And you take the Maine sweet shrimp. So for years and years and years, it was dredged. Okay. And now they do an exploratory catch in Canada every year. And then they decide if they're going to open it in Maine in the United States. Well, last season, they actually let them trap squid. Which means they actually put a trap, shrimp.
Yeah.
They trap the shrimp. It comes up. It's absolutely gorgeous. The shrimp are literally still twitching when we're picking them up in the market. And they shouldn't have let them dredge them for years. Now they're seeing the catches are low. But as the waters are warming, we have to admit that, you know, they say, well, there's none here. But fishermen are telling the authorities, listen, we're going to have to go 10 miles out. They're there. You know, so things have to move a little bit. And again, I would rather they act with caution and not overfish something. But you'll start to see the Maine sweet shrimp again.
Okay.
And that's something which is, again, let me give you an example how to protect a fish. So a red snapper, there used to be a season where they would open up the season. Every red snapper fisherman would just hit it, you know, they would come back and there would be pallets and pallets of fish in the market. The price would drop really low. By the second and third week, the market couldn't keep up with the supply. Now, what would happen is fish would just rot in the street. Remember, the Fulton Fish Market was outside. But, I mean, when I say rot, I mean it wasn't in the same pristine fashion.
Right.
So what they did was they took every commercial red snapper fisherman, gave them an allotment, and said, listen, here's your allotment. You know, all the boats now, GPS, there's nothing, you know, you can't, there's no romantic old guy with a beard fishing out there with his dog on board. And the guy, you know, all these people are tied in to the internet and global positioning. They said, listen, go out, catch what you want to catch whenever you want to catch it. So what did that happen to the price of red snapper? So it went up, not too much, but it went up, but now it stays a constant. And, you know, unless there's weather, we pretty much have American red snapper, which is literally only off the coast of Florida and the Gulf of Mexico.
Right.
There's no other species in the world. There's lots of great red-skinned fish, whether it be a beeliner, a mangrove snapper, a green tail, but it's not American red snapper. So now these guys are able to catch the fish when they want to, and some of them are even allowed to sell their shares to someone else if they can't get out or
that makes sense.
Right. So you could trade off, but it now keeps a con, and now once they hit their quota, it's over. So people go when they want to, and we have a nice flow of product in the market, and it's great. So you know, that's real conservation. Shutting down, I mean, bluefish, believe it or not, was actually, you know, this was many years ago, in fear of being endangered. You know, they put a moratorium on it for 6 months. Fluke wow. catches are to where they were in the 70s. And you could look that up. You know, a lot of these things are working. You know, and again, we have to continuously stay on top of it as well, though. But let's... But I want to talk about how delicious fish is when we get a chance. Okay.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah, fluctuations in the market. I know for us, you know, we menu fish, and again, usually the farm raised are the more predictable.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
The supply is coming, and they have done a lot with the fish farms to clean them up.
Yeah.
Oysters have a resurgence. You know, the last two centuries, I mean, there used to be a free bar snack 150 years
ago. Well, oysters now are
hottest thing out there.
What? Listen, every dude with a beard and a bun on top of his head that was making beer 10 years ago is oyster farming. So it is, and I got to tell you something, it is one of the easiest entrees into farming. So, for example, if you wanted to be a farmer, you know, you'd have to obviously first get a piece of land.
Right.
And as we know in Hunterdon County, that would be, you know, there's some programs through Rutgers College and, you know, helping farmers get started. But it's usually a family-owned thing. Yeah. So what has happened with oysters in the last 15 years, so many of these fantastic farms have been sprouting up. And what it's doing is, remember, every oyster in the water is cleaning 50 gallons of water a day.
Yeah, they're filters, yeah.
Right. So we're now able to get wild oysters, which were never available. We're getting damsels out of Maine. We're getting wilding bastards out of New Jersey.
Well, Cape May, I mean, the Delaware Bay. I mean, but I think that's a tribute. That's because we cleaned up the water.
We cleaned the waters, but the oysters did more. I mean, as good as we did, the oysters did more. I mean, listen, when they did work on the Tappan Zee Bridge a couple of years ago, they had an exploratory camera underneath the bridge, and the entire bed was covered with oysters. Are they safe to eat yet? No. But the point is, they're working. I mean, they're doing their job. And also, too, we probably recycle, I should say, about 99% of our fish waste that goes into fertilizer and natural fertilizers and whatnot. We're a little too far away from the water. But in New York, for example, just putting used oyster shells in the water actually helps stimulate oyster growth. So, I mean, listen, guys, the best thing you could do after you slurp an oyster seaside-wise, just chuck it back
in. Right?
You know what I mean? It's better than a cherry pit.
Yeah, I know. Because, you know, you've got to I mean, they grow them in the bags now. I guess the oyster seed companies are the ones that are
doing well. Yeah, they're doing very well. But now these guys are really taking it to an artisan level. So I'll give you an example. So they'll grow the oysters just on, you know, in these little like wooden platforms, or sometimes actually on the floor itself. Mm-hmm. Then after a certain time, they might take them in bags and bring them out to the open ocean.
Yeah, they hang them. They do mussels the same
yes,
way.
Yes, to actually get them a little more briny.
Yep.
So remember, speaking of oysters, we carry any one day anywhere from 18 to 23 different kinds of oysters. Okay, so
it's amazing. They're everywhere.
We'll shuck them. But here's the thing. What there's only 5 species of oysters on this continent. Okay,
I got to ask you about that because the blue point
is part of the Virginica species,
right? And that was pretty much the East Coast oyster forever.
Yes. So
and people would say, "I'm a governor," and say, "Oh, this is just a different oyster." I said, "It's all the same species."
Well, it's all the same species. It's all the same species, but mentioning blue points in particular, it kind of gets me a little aggravated because just make sure you're getting blue points. Listen, if you're buying quote unquote a blue point oyster, it's got to come out of New York or Connecticut. I mean, it's got to come out of that general area. But I've seen places, you know, label a Virginia oyster as a blue point just as a genetic pass through. It doesn't fly with me.
So it's not the same species?
It's the same species, but a blue point oyster, you're referring to a New York oyster. Okay. And so, but the same species from Maine all the way down to Florida. What makes it different? Just the same thing like wine. The terroir.
The water.
You know what I mean? The terroir. Yeah. Are they chipping the oysters? Yeah. Oysters, a lot of oysters, if allowed to grow wild, kind of get elongated. Mm-hmm. So they'll take them up at what looks like what you would roll bingo numbers in. Like a cage, and actually chips the oysters away and actually forms that really desirable shape. And it's also lets them form a deeper cup. So where the oyster comes from, just so you know, all mussels, clams, oysters, any live shellfish comes with a tag on it.
Yes.
It tells you when the oyster was harvested. It tells you when it was shipped.
Mm-hmm.
It tells you the exact bed location. Now, I've said this before. This is one of the safest foods to eat because it's tracked so rigorously. So, for example, if they receive 3 or 4 inches of rain in Massachusetts tonight, they're going to shut down those oyster beds.
Right.
The salinity levels are not going to be high enough for you to have a safe oyster. And, you know, for me, it's, again, everyone – so when someone says, where is this oyster from? Everyone who sells oysters has to have this tag.
Yes, we have to save them for 90 days.
If they say – when you say, where the oyster come from, and they say from the ocean – just punch them in the mouth and then walk out of the restaurant and don't even leave the money down for the drink you had. Everyone has to know. And by the way, those tags have to be kept for 90 days past after you've sold the oyster.
Right.
So if there's ever any foodborne illness, whether it's Vibrio, they can track it down. So,
yeah, we had an incident once. An elderly gentleman probably shouldn't have been eating raw shellfish.
Right.
The health department came. We had all our tags.
Right.
And they followed it. You know, they trace it right to the bed, and okay, there was a problem with the individual. It wasn't
right.
It wasn't bad food.
Well, it's funny. Someone could literally go to a hot dog eating contest, finish 2 containers of Cool Whip, wash it down with a jar of pickles, eat 1 clam, and swear to God, the clam got him sick. Yeah. Listen.
Well, another reason,
right?
You probably don't like
again, but
restaurant.
You have to make sure. Listen, wherever you're buying it, restaurant. Just ask, where is it from? And the information's in the kitchen. The server might not know, but the server should be comfortable enough to talk to the chef and say, listen.
Yeah, they come back and
yeah,
they
the
ask,
client,
you know,
yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure, right, and I'm sure you do. Again, it's got to be kept cold. Mm-hmm. You know, it's got to be shucked. You know, listen, I have a lot of young chefs will ask to come with me to the Fulton Fish Market. And a lot of them will say, listen, so what is your advice on fish? And I said, here's my advice. And this is not for every restaurant, but take all fish off the menu and run it only as a special.
I would prefer that.
You know, I mean, listen, and you should not be able to get your favorite sword dish at this particular restaurant every time you go. Because the fact of the matter is the swordfish is not always available.
Right.
And if you can get it all the time, then that restaurant needs to disclose to you that they're only carrying frozen product. I mean, this time of year, this last couple of weeks, swordfish has been very tight. We've been very fortunate to get some beautiful fish, but it's been very tight, which is, again, it's weather-related. It's hunted, you know what I mean? So it's not a bad thing. Go ahead, though.
Yeah, I like what you just said about the specials. And I know a menu you have to kind of put out there what – you know, so people know what to expect. So they say, you know, we have the scallops.
Yeah.
And salmon and. But I took, used to have, let's say, flounder on the menu.
Sure.
Which could be fluke in the summertime.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I took it off. The price fluctuations and the availability, it's on special almost every day.
Right,
if
right.
it comes in.
Right.
But it could fluctuate $2 or $3 a pound from one day to the next.
Well, that's just to your credit, honestly, that you took that off. Because, again, if you had it on a constant price, then you're only carrying the frozen item. Again, not good nor bad. It's just to your credit. And let people know, why is it up? Well, there's 50 mile an hour winds.
Yeah.
And we were
using fresh, but we would kind of cost average for the year, but we've taken a beating sometimes.
Well, you can't, like I said, again, the more people know, the more they're going to appreciate that end meal. The more they appreciate what the work that you put into it, and they're going to appreciate the knowledge that you're bringing to the table as far as sourcing is concerned. I mean, listen, If truth be told, if I didn't have a fish store, I would have had a pork store. But I love them both. But there's just so many varieties that, you know, people can really, I mean, rest assured, there's literally a fish for every taste. And listen, I'll ask you. It's easier, I think, to pan roast a piece of salmon or grill a piece of swordfish than it is to make a perfect roast beef from stem to stem.
That's the other. I like seafood because you can never get backed up. You can have 20 tickets hanging there.
Yep.
And everything's going to take 3 or 4 minutes to cook.
Right.
But if I got a well-done filet, it's 25 minutes.
Right, exactly. Right, exactly.
And, you got to wait all, right. hold up
well,
all the other
listen,
food.
Too, and I would much rather people. I've written over 2,000 recipes. I write a biweekly email.
I was going to ask you about that because that kind of helps sell your product too, right?
It helps keep customers in. Listen, I'll be perfectly honest with you. If you don't like my brand of humor, definitely do not receive the email. it's definitely woven quite heavily into the fabric. But we also write 2 original recipes and then give the specials and whatnot. But again, just informing the customers, they love to know, you know, the backstory.
But they want,
whatever it is. Listen, there is this method, Ikijimi. We were talking about it earlier. I'm very, very excited about it. There's a company called Gulf of Maine Sashimi. Right. And this young lady, Jan, has taught the fishermen how to do this Japanese method of fish preservation. So as soon as it's caught, you're right, the fish is then pithed, okay? Then the fish is bled out. Now, when you bleed the fish out, the meat is gorgeous and snow white. Then it's immediately submerged in what's called a slurry, which is salt, crushed ice, water. Okay.
Right. It lowers the freezing point.
It lowers it, but doesn't freeze the fish.
Right. So it's.
Right. But it just lowers the temperature immediately. Yeah. That fish now will last a week longer. I mean, it is absolutely true. And what's so exciting about it, it's not being done in Japan and Central. It's being done with our gorgeous fish, hake, cod, fluke.
Well, that's what the boats that are out for 8 or 10 days have to do. That you've got to store it.
Well, they don't. I wish they. No, this is a one of a kind company. I've only known one other gentleman. I hope he doesn't mind me saying his name. I won't say his name. But anyway, he used to work on boats, and he would do this process for the fishermen. What Gulf of Maine is doing is they are actually teaching the fishermen how to do it. Now, what is it? They're smaller boats. They're not massive boats.
Right.
And these guys have been got to get beat up by the larger boats. Now, do I mind paying $2 or $3 more a pound? Absolutely not. And my clients won't either because it is a pristine product. I mean, literally, we are selling it with such excitement. And again, how is it preserved? And that is just is so exciting to me from an industry when I was a little kid, I would watch them take shovels and shovel the fish from the nets.
Oh, you know, the bruising, you know. That's part of the after the catch. You know, if there's too much struggle,
right,
it damages the meat in
right.
some species.
Exactly. Oh, absolutely. No,
the temperature goes up.
No, not in some species. All species. I mean, again, you wouldn't go to a farm and just toss the pigs into the back of a pickup truck. I mean, you know, listen, we need to protect the product from the moment it's caught until the moment it arrives to your table. So it needs expert handling. But again, some of the caveman tactics, you know, because of the price of fish. Yeah. You know, I mean, guys literally realize, hey, if you're going to smash a fish, guess what? I'm deducting it off my bill, and we're not paying for it. So enjoy, you know, enjoy your $200 refund, which I'm not even going to worry about. There are more people like me in the business now that, you know, are trying to not only educate our clients, but just give them real fish. Mm-hmm. We talked about that earlier. Fish substitution, and when I say substitution, I'm talking about out and out fraud. You know, is a big thing in the news, and it's very simple to check. They do genetic testing. The question is, if you're getting grouper, and if you're a consumer, whether you're either in my store or in your restaurant, it better be grouper, and you know, someone could say, well, you know, sometimes the fishermen themselves mislabel it. Listen, if you don't know what you're buying, you need to not cook my food. You know what I mean? You should be able to, and there has to be a country of origin, which we talked about, which is the law.
Yeah.
You know, this is the you know, when
people, well, people say, ask us, and that's, you know, and even if they don't care, I think they feel they have to ask.
Why not?
You know,
why not?
And we answer them. I mean, when I was a young chef, I remember when you had that line about in the ocean.
Yeah.
And I was busy in a server. Yeah, where's the swordfish from? I said, the ocean. I just realized afterwards. Well,
it was the '80s. Everyone was a little crazy. All right. I think I dressed like Boy George once in a while back then. But anyway, but letting people know. You know, where it's sourced.
Well, I'm proud of what we source.
Well, listen, and first of all, like, there's been no quote unquote available in the market. Let's say Carolina, you know, grouper. Now we procured some.
That was the old
right. So I'm not even talking about the stripers, but we procured some gorgeous black grouper from Mexico, mm-hmm. and just because it came from the country, it's a wild product.
Right.
Whether a tuna is caught in Australia. Or is caught off the quote unquote canyon, is it? Listen, let me give an example. If you go out tuna fishing in Australia, you're only going out, you know, 20, 30 minutes. You go out tuna fishing to the canyon. How long's that trip? I don't know. Hours.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Hours and hours. So by the time that tuna gets back to the market and gets on a plane or a boat or a truck, it's really arriving the same time. You know, someone says, "Well, that tuna's from the Philippines." Forget about unscrupulous labor practices just for one moment. Whether it's from the Philippines, whether it's from Florida, whether it's from, you know, Maine, there's a lot of companies that, well, you know, I caught it off the coast of this. Listen, the fish was caught. It's gorgeous and fresh. No matter what ocean, there's no ocean that's better than our ocean or worse than our ocean. We're talking about the ocean.
Right.
You know what I mean? So honor the catch. Honor the people who procure this fish. And take care of it and honor, like I said, it's a gift. Every piece of fish that comes out of the ocean is a gift that we need to drop to our knees and, you know, rub a little soil in our hands, you know, a la Russell Crowe in Gladiator, and just appreciate this, you know, what we're doing here.
Interesting. Yeah, we've got the quarter hour. We're going to do a couple of messages here, but we'll be back. And Fine by your mark.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
¿Sabía que de cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
Everybody over there.
Get on up.
Everybody right there.
Get into it.
Everybody right there.
Get involved.
Everybody, you.
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Here at Chef Bill's Table with Mark from Metropolitan Seafood, and we've spent a good part of the hour talking about fish. But Mark, you've got other things. You're not here more than a fish market. You have a deal.
Yes,
other services.
Yeah, we do actually. Thank you. We carry a line of local cheeses.
Cheese also.
Yeah, yeah. Nice. We have cheeses, and we have a full deli counter of smoked fish. We carry. Any one time, three different kinds of smoked salmon, which we slice in-house, our own house gravlax. We carry an imported Scottish.
So you cure your own?
Oh, no. Actually, we do smoke our own fish. We smoke the tuna, bluefish, halibut cheeks, shrimp, scallops. We also source from Acme in Brooklyn.
That was a good house. Right.
Yeah, it's a phenomenal house. And we do Nova Scotia from them. We also do a smoked salmon from Scotland. Not a Scottish style, but we actually import it directly from Scotland. And then we do our own grav. Different salads, octopus salad, fruta de mar, shrimp salid. The cheeses we source from the Bobolink Dairy in Milford.
So you're using local cheeses?
Yes, though. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. And we're so honored because they don't allow anyone just to sell their wheel cuts. I mean, they're not cryovac.
You have to handle it just like the fish.
Exactly.
Every day it's trim.
Well, right. And I want my clients, listen, you can come in with a glass of wine and just say you want to taste every cheese and we will not be mad. You can just come in hungry and we'll let you taste every local cheese. Well, the difference is we're not selling a Gruyere. It might be a cheese that's like a Gruyere. You know what I mean? So someone will say, well, I'm looking for a Manchego. I don't have a Manchego. We have this. So we want you to taste it. And,
that's very educated. I mean, that's neat that you can do that. Because, and you do it with wines also. People are like, I want this. And like, well, no, I don't have this. But this is a grape that's similar or a style that's similar.
Yeah. And we carry anything local. I mean, we have, for example, I have one gentleman, we sell his pickles. We carry the Black River Roasters coffee, which I adore. And it's roasted right down the street from my store.
Oh, Black River Pete.
Chris at Black River Roasters, right on 22.
I'm thinking of the Tea and Spice Company.
No. They've been just remarkable friends of ours, and their coffee is delicious. I drink it at home. And, again, if you want to taste the coffee, there's a little Juro maker in the front. Just ask. I mean, it's really for my personal consumption, but just hit the button.
I take care of the boss.
Right. Well, right. Oh, grind the beans. And also our pastas, which is really interesting, which I'm very proud about our pastas and our gluten-free pastas, is that, you say a lot of times, well, it's made in Italy. Almost every pasta is made in Italy. But the big brands, DiCecco, Barilla, and I'm not calling them out. It's common knowledge. Yes, the pasta is made in Italy, but the grain comes from North America.
We have the high-protein flour that the rest of the world wants.
Right. Well, no. Now, listen, my pastas are made in Italy from Italian grain. So I'm going to tell you right now, Bill, I'm going to bring you a bag. Okay. Or if you stop by the store, I'm going to give you a bag. It is completely different. You ever hear people say to you, they go, oh, I went to Italy, I ate pasta, it didn't bother me. But it bothers me here. Because remember, we're not part of the Monsanto. Am I saying there's bad American pastas? Absolutely not. If long as it's used organic flour and it's done in a certain way. But when you see these pastas, they're incredibly dull in view because they use these bronze fittings that produce this really rough edge, so it absorbs the sauce.
Well, that's I worked in a place we extruded our own pasta.
Right.
Yes, it catches the.
But
people don't realize you need the ridges, you need the
right. But the taste, I mean, the taste and the texture.
So the durum from Italy. completely.
Oh, but it's completely. But it's completely different.
As I mean, it should be, right?
I mean, it's meaty. Yeah. I mean, the pasta now becomes a star and not a side dish. You know, talk about clams and linguine. When I was younger, I would put, you know, 3 dozen clams in there. Then I would put a quart of chopped clams, and it was a clamapalooza. And then as I got older and more, you know, my palate became more sophisticated, I realized it's not about, you know, plaguing the dish with. It's about infusing that clam flavor into the pasta.
And finish the pasta.
You know, and once in a while, you get a gorgeous little gem of a clam, and you're happy, and life is good. And you're not going to smack your dog tonight because everything's beautiful in the world, you know. But it's, you know, just to extract these flavors. And, you know, besides the pastas, we have a whole Middle Eastern section. As I said before, I wasn't joking. I am Lebanese and have my store in Lebanon, New Jersey.
Funny, right?
But we do have a full, you know, Middle Eastern section. Okay. We have a full Asian section with really
high. That is what, preserves thing, jarred? Or?
Yeah, pickles, yeah. Tahini, like, you know.
Sauces.
You've made hummus before, obviously.
Yes. Yeah,
so the tahini that we carry, it pours like a milkshake. It never separates. I mean, sometimes you get the tahini.
You always have to stir.
Oh, you get the tahini from a store. You need a paint can shaker to get this thing loose. I mean, either that or you feel your triceps burning. But those quality ingredients. And again, our clients have been so fantastic. You know, we carry Saltopia salts, which is up in Long Valley, New Jersey. I mean, these beautiful Himalayan salts, all flavored. As much local stuff as we can carry, and not because I'm only buying local, because it's great product.
If it wasn't good, you wouldn't.
Listen, I don't care if it's right next door to me. Yeah. It doesn't matter to me. I'm excited. It makes me so excited to literally have other people in my area that feel the same way about their products as we do. You know. So, and then of course we have our takeout. So our takeout, we do takeout for lunches and dinners. So
you have a restaurant there also?
We have a takeout restaurant.
So you don't have seats?
Don't ever say sit-down restaurant. If you ever see Metropolitan Seafood sit-down restaurant, then you know that you've missed my funeral. I would never have a restaurant.
You mentioned that.
And I thank a lot of people for asking me, but I have no problem getting up at 1, 2 in the morning to go get fish. I do have a problem working till 1, 2 in the morning. If it was a restaurant.
End, yeah.
Just
used to call my fish guy after I'd close the restaurant.
Yes.
I would call him at 1:30 or 2 before you go to the market. And
listen,
all right.
I'm a fishmonger. I'm a fishmonger through and through. I don't want to be called. Someone ever calls me a chef, I give them just a very quick backhand. Nothing.
But you have good taste, though. And that's what really I can see now with all the complimentary products that you carry. I mean, people would say, oh, you know, fish and cheese is, but you know, what you're selling is really kind of a, I don't know, this purity of.
Well, that's the name, Metropolitan Seafood and Gourmet. When we moved to our new location, we actually added the gourmet, just to denote that we are more than just
more
a
than
fish store,
yeah.
But we are first and foremost a fish store. And I never, you know, listen, the takeout specials tomorrow. You're going to be able to have a. I believe it's the – I'm not sure. Oh, I haven't even written the menu, but I think we're doing a tuna burger. I believe it's going to be the holy guacamole. Oh, no. Actually, no. We're going to do a tequila tuna burger tomorrow for our takeout specials.
Okay.
And then, you know, a salmon health wrap and different salads.
So your menu changes.
The specials change every 2 days.
Write it up.
Well, that's it. Remember, it's fish. So we can – listen, what can we have on the menu all the time? You know, the fish and chips.
Yeah.
Well, listen, we're going to use cod. We're going to use hake. We're going to use flounder.
I change it up. I'll use whatever, you know.
But you have to. Again – to our point earlier, if you say I'm always using cod, you're not.
I see it. You know? I mean, well, when I see menus that say Alaskan cod, well, okay, you're buying a refreshed product, and you can always get it.
Right. And for those of you who don't know what refreshed is, that's a frozen item when we say refresh, means it's a frozen item that was thawed out. So yeah, you're 100% right. So yeah, the menu changes every couple of days, and whatever it is, and if we have to 86 because we ran out. Good. That's fantastic.
Yeah, we do our tacos and our fish and chips. Servers always ask, what fish are you using today?
Yeah, right.
Taco, it could be, if I have halibut trimmings, it could be halibut.
Listen.
It might score. You know?
Here's what it has to be. It has to be fresh. It has to be beautiful. Mm-hmm. Whatever the fish, and again, you know, and listen, we do soft shell crab tacos, which is like, forget about it. That's one of my favorites. I mean, listen, we only have, another month left? Not even.
Depends. You know, there were some years I'd get them like a last hit in mid-October.
Oh, no. by that
it's
time,
only if it's warmed
yeah,
up.
By that time they're crawling up your leg. They're so firm. Yeah, no, but right, this year it's going to go a little longer.
Well, the water stays warm.
It's going to be warm, and again, that's just there's a treat that you know that when we were young bucks, that was a 2-3 week season. I mean, now it's you know with the processes of putting you know in the tanks and
well, don't they? Yeah, they've got the little
they tank them. They tank them. It's about what 12, 13, or whatever, 18 inches deep. And as the shell, as the back fin color changes, they put them into shedding.
Yeah, the busters. They look for that.
It's just fantastic. I mean, and these guys. Let me tell you something. These are down home guys.
Well, Handy. I mean, their product is and Metomkin. Those are the two.
Yeah, yeah. I buy from four or five different producers. Carolina's one of my favorites. This guy really takes care of his product. And again, I know these people. I know the people who has been selling us clams for 25 years. Not just the person who's selling them to me. As far as in the wholesale market, I tell people all the time. I don't want to bypass you. I don't want to buy direct if I don't have to. But I want to be able to call them up and ask questions that my clients are asking me. And like I said, it's to you know to wrap things up, if you will. I have been so blessed for the last 31 years, and just thank everyone who's come in the store. And if you have any fish questions, just call or ask us, and go to metroseafood.com and have fun on the website.
Okay, yeah, that's I mean. I'll tell you, as I say, I know your reputation. I heard about you long, long before I met you.
Thanks, Bill.
But I hope you come back. And
I will, I promise.
I love fish and seafood, as I'm sure you do. But I know the listeners would always be happy to hear us talk about it.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. Take care, brother.
All right. Chef Bill signing off. And if you get this... archived. It'll be at the Chef Bill's table, and we'll be at the 100 and Chamber site, and then Mark, you can link it to your homepage. All right. Bye-bye.
What do you want to do when you grow up? When we were young, it's a question we were often asked. As we get older, our passions become clearer, our pursuits become careers, and if we're diligent, we begin to plan for the life we want to live. That's why, at Ameriprise Financial, we ask what's most important to you. Starting with our confident retirement approach, your Ameriprise Financial advisor will ask questions that help you arrive at a customized plan that allows you to realize your goals today, tomorrow, and throughout retirement. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call Michelle Heidi and Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 16 Lee Street, Units 1B and 1C in Clinton, New Jersey. The confident retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The man suspected of shooting and wounding six Philadelphia police officers last week during an hours-long standoff that began when they were trying to serve a drug warrant on him is now facing multiple charges of attempted murder. 36-year-old Maurice Hill allegedly fired more than 100 rounds with an AR-15 style rifle and a handgun during that shooting incident that ended up leading to an 8-hour barricade situation. A new survey of economists out today finds that 70% of them believe the economy is headed for a recession within the next 2 years. Top White House economist Larry Kudlow says it's not going to happen, although a reporter reminded him he said the same thing back in 2007.
This is not then. Our banks are well capitalized. Our financial system's in very good shape.
This is USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature. Changing the world, one life at a time.
You guys have a great product, and I tell my friends about it, and I was actually talking to a guy the other day who I just met, and he takes them. So you put out a great product, and I want to thank you and your organization.
I just started using it, and my family's already seen the difference. And I have health issues. I have fibromyalgia, asthma, but all of a sudden everything's clearing up, and I'm feeling better, and my skin's better. My brother said I look 10 years younger already.
Wow. Okay.
My vision is clear. I already see the difference. People are seeing the difference, and my doctor is seeing the difference.
Experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself. For a limited time, you can receive a 30% discount and free shipping on your first preferred order of Balance of Nature. Call 800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code USA.
Following a deadly ISIS attack in Kabul, Afghanistan, Saturday night, President Trump is becoming more and more eager to bring U.S. troops home from Afghanistan. He's talking of a peace plan with the Taliban, which would keep the country from falling back into terrorist hands.
Well, look, we're there for one reason. We don't want that to be a laboratory, okay? It can't be a laboratory for terror, and we've stopped that.
Democratic Congresswoman Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib are going to speak this afternoon about the travel restrictions that they faced when they wanted to go to Israel and the Palestinian territories this past weekend. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu decided to block the two lawmakers from entering the nation for an official visit. Omar and Tlaib's visit that was planned for